The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Police are on the lookout for a thin man wearing a clown costume.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today, the horror is coming back to Talk is Jericho in the form of one of my favorite new movies, Terrifier, featuring one of the best new horror movie villains that I've seen in the last 20 years, Art the Clown, played by David Howard Thornton. Art the Clown is the main character in Terrifier, and Art is truly sick and played to the hilt by the amazing acting skills of David Howard Thornton. David's going to tell us all about Art the Clown, how he got the role, what it was like wearing Art's makeup and filming all those truly gruesome kill scenes, working with director Damien Leone. We'll also find out what David thinks about the movie's growth, how it seems to be headed to cult favorite status, whether there might be a sequel to Terrifier, and so much more. And like I said, you guys know I'm a horror movie fanatic. We even did the watch along for Sleepaway Camp 2 a few weeks ago with Team Tiger Awesome. I watch a lot of horror films. And Terrifier, we're going to talk about this with David, but was suggested to me by Rich Ward when we were on tour of Canada a few months ago, November, December, and I'm still talking about it. I've shown my niece, I've shown all my friends, very grisly, gross, disgusting movie, but also super creepy, super scary, and Art the Clown is one of the best movie villains I've seen in a long time, plays it to the hilt, never breaks character of this psychotic clown who may or may not be supernatural. Lots of stuff to think about and talk about. If you haven't seen Terrifier, watch it. I give it 100%, two thumbs up. If you've seen a million horror movies, you go, oh, I'm not scared by anything anymore, nothing really affects me, Terrifier will, but not in a super exploitative way. It's in the performance of David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown. So go check this out. Damien Leone did a great job of writing this movie. He actually did the makeup for Art the Clown. So many cool things that we're going to talk about coming up here. Art the Clown, the newest slasher icon, right up there with Freddy Krueger and Jason and Leatherface. That is my prediction. Many more Art the Clown movies and sequels to come. And we're going to learn more about Art and David Howard Thornton right here on Talk is Jericho, starting now.
What's wrong?
I'm fine. Why?
You keep looking over your shoulder.
What if that guy did this to your car?
What guy? The clown?
He knows this is your car. He's out there watching us right now.
Look, that guy was just some douchebag in a costume.
Okay, so we were on tour in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And my guitar player, Rich Ward, knows that I like horror movies. And he goes, I got to show you this movie called Terrifier. I'm like, what is it? He goes, you got to watch this scene. He pulls up this scene with this creepy clown who is not saying a word, and he's sawing a girl in half as she's tied up upside down. The movie's called Terrifier. The character is Art the Clown, and the actor is David Howard Thornton. I love the three names.
Yeah.
By the way, that's like serial killers type shit.
I have to go by that because there's another actor out there by the name of David Thornton. He's actually Cyndi Lauper's husband.
Oh, is he really? We might have to send Art the Clown for a visit to Cyndi's husband.
Like, yeah. He was like in The Notebook. He was like Home Alone 3.
Wow.
And stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And he actually lives in New York, I think, as well. So
are you a New York guy?
I am. Oh, now I am. I'm originally from Huntsville, Alabama.
I was going to say, I hear a little Southern accent there.
It's come out a lot since I've been back down here, too. It just comes back. It's like, I'll find myself. I was like, hey, how are you? I'm like, oh, there it is.
And it's funny because I'm from Canada.
Oh, yeah.
So when I go back there, it's like, hey, what's going on, eh? Ah, with Art the Clown, eh? Crazy, man. But you do get that, right? But so now that, and I want to get into all of this. Mm-hmm. Art the Clown has become, I'm not going to say iconic because it's too early for that, but it's become like the hottest new killer in horror movies that I've seen maybe the last 15 years or so.
It's been nuts. We didn't expect any of this at all, because like when we made the sequel to All Hallows Eve, which I took over the role for the original guy, Mike Gianelli, who was fantastic, but he just didn't want to go.
So let's go back. So All Hallows Eve was the debut of Art the Clown.
Yes, it was an anthology film, and they filmed it over the course of a few years.
And is this the same director that did Terrifier?
Yes, he directed it, created the character, wrote the script, did all the makeup, practical effects. It's Damien Leone. He is just an extremely talented.
By the way, he's
man.
Super jealous that we're talking right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he is.
Because I posted a picture today. I'm at the Days of the Dead. We are. Yeah. And there was an Art the Clown walking around. I posted the picture and he was like, oh my God, you're a fan. I'm like, dude, I'm talking to David Lee. He goes, I'm so jealous. Next time you go to X me too.
Oh, he's been texting me all day. He's like, I cannot believe this. I'm like, I know, dude.
but just to show it, and we'll get into it more as I followed him on Instagram, because that's what makes you real friends nowadays.
Yeah.
And I scroll down and Kerry King from Slayer, who's a good friend of mine, has the Art the Clown, like little Funko Pops or whatever they are.
Damien made it for him, I think, for Christmas or something.
And I text Kerry, I'm like, dude, Art the Clown is like, it's the best. It's the best character.
I think Damien wanted to make you one, but he didn't have enough time to make it before
he said next time he's gonna make it happen. But so we're talking about how this character is just kind of really, it's been a real grassroots buzz as to how this character is moving, because when Rich told me and I watched it, then my niece Michaela, who's 21 or almost 21, showed it to her. She showed it to her friends, and so on and so on and so on.
It's been nuts. It's kind of like how you know, like the essence of the ring, where like one person sees it, they start sharing it with other people, and it just gets infectious that way. Because like we released in March of last year, just on like video on demand and DVD Blu-ray, and it was already having a nice little buzz going around. But like none of like the mainstream like press stuff, you know, like those.
I've seen no press said for anything. It. Right.
IGN, nothing. IGN still hasn't said anything about us. And I'm like, so it's been the fans that have gotten the word out about this. And it's been amazing. And then we released on Netflix. And that was in September. And we just exploded. Mm. It was just like, we had other like celebrities like tweeting stuff out, like Instagramming things. Like I think Lily Reinhart from Riverdale like posted something, and people went nuts over it on like Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, holy crap, this has actually become something.
And that's what I was trying to do, because I have a lot of social media followers. So I've been planting the seeds, because I knew we were going to do this. Because just so you know, I don't do conventions. I just don't have time. The only reason I'll do them is if I can get somebody cool for the podcast.
Yeah.
And so I always go like, okay, so Days of the Dead Atlanta wants you to go there. Okay, well, who else is on the show? And I'll look through. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's two. Vinnie Vincent from Kiss, who bailed. And, and David Thornton, David Howard Thornton, not Cindy Lawson, or the Clown. I'm like, dude, if you can get me David Howard Thornton, I'll be there. We got it.
Awesome.
Because everybody's now talking about this character.
Yeah.
So what was it when you, how did the buzz start growing? Was it one person, or was it? Because Netflix has 10,000 movies on it.
Yeah, it was just the buzz on like the fans of All Hallows Eve were the ones we made this for in the first place, because they loved the character of Art and they wanted him to have his own film. So we're like, okay, sure. So we made this in the mind that we're just doing this film for those original fans of All Hallows Eve, because they really want something with Art. And we're like, okay, we're doing something fun for ourselves and for the fans. If something comes of this, great. If not, oh well, we did something for the fans and ourselves. We made the horror film that we wanted to see. And we thought, yeah, we think he's a cool character, but you never know. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to catch someone's attention. So we're like, well, especially Damien, he can be like, well, you know, you never know, man. It's like, no. And other people are like, no, trust me, this guy, this character, there's something about him that's unique, that's needed in this industry right now. And we're like, well, we hope so. But we didn't expect it.
And you're in a position, like I said, like it's a different world now in 2019, 18, 17 when you made it than it was in, you know, 84 when Nightmare on Elm Street comes out with Freddy Krueger. So Robert Englund becomes synonymous with that. There's been countless Michael Myers. There's been countless, you know, Jasons.
All that, yeah.
But as far as being just one guy all the way through,
basically, Brad Dourif
from
all the Child's Play movies.
Okay, but that's just a voice.
Yeah,
just so voice. Basically, it's Robert Englund.
Basically, Robert Englund.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, we haven't seen, because I'm a horror movie fanatic. We haven't seen like a killer like this. So you are in the position now, and we'll go through the whole past of it. But right now, as this continues to build, you could be the next Robert Englund. And you're probably like a Shakespearean actor or something. I don't know. We'll get into it. But like, how do you feel about this? Like some random character that now is people are dressing up as on Halloween and coming to the conventions as.
It's mind-boggling because like I never imagined I would even do horror. I figured if I ever did horror, I would be like the smart-ass character that gets killed off halfway through.
The camp counselor that dies.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I'll be like, oh God, blanking on his name from Scream, you know, I'll be right back. And I'll be like...
yeah, well, you know, everybody, like Kevin Bacon in Friday 13th Part 1 and everyone since.
Yeah, it's like, I'll be one of those guys that just... He's dead. He's dead. Because I've always done comedy my whole entire life, and I'm more focused on stage and voiceover, and this is just a random thing that I came across because I had seen All Hallows Eve.
This might be Art the Clown. Hello? We just had DDP here, and I told him to valet his car to my room, and they just called to confirm it. So you can leave that in there. But let's talk about how did you get this part of Art the Clown, and what is your background? Because you mentioned you're from Huntsville, but you live in New York now.
Right.
Which, to me, when actors move to New York and not L.A., New York's more of the stage.
The stage.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why I moved up to New York. I grew up doing like community theater back in Huntsville for the longest time, and I tried to be like pragmatic about my life. So when I went to college, I actually got a degree in elementary education because I was like, well, as much as I love doing theater, I probably can't support a family with that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, I love kids. I come from like four generations of teachers. So I'm like, I can do a career with that and do theater on the side. Great, cool, awesome. And then my mom, I think it was like my sophomore year of college, she was diagnosed with stage 3 esophageal cancer. And so about for two and a half years there, she was dealing with that, and she finally passed away from it. And she fought a long battle with that. She was only supposed to live 6 months, and she ended up just willing herself to live for 2.5 years, which like beat all the odds. And we had our final conversation with each other, and she just told me, she's like, yeah, don't do what you think you have to do with your life. You've been given certain gifts that a lot of people don't have. Do what you want to do with your life. Do what makes you happy, because you only have one shot at this. And she's like, I have so many regrets that I did not go out and do things. Don't be like me. This is like the best advice I can ever give you. And I'm like, okay. And I let that like digest for a year. And I was teaching one day, and I was going through a lot of other stuff. I had a lot of other personal things happen about a year's time where my dog died, my grandmother died, a friend committed suicide, and my sister married a homeless man. All in the space of like 1 month when I went to go do my internship in the schools, and I was like, what is
dark
going?
Time.
Yeah. I was like, I was just spiraling down. Like I couldn't focus. And I was just so depressed. And I had that epiphany one day in the classroom. I was doing story time with my kids. And I discovered, I was like, I'm getting more fulfillment out of entertaining my students, doing all these crazy voices and stuff like that, than teaching them. I'm like, I think this is what this is my calling in life. And I called my dad up. He's a NASA engineer, now retired NASA engineer. And I thought I was going to get that just stern, like, pragmatic engineer talk, well, you put all this time and effort into this and blah 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 blah. It's like, no, your mom and I always thought you should do this instead, but we didn't want to tell you what you do with your life. We want you to discover what you want to do yourself. He's like, go ahead, take a year off just to get your head in the game, finish up your degree, and then go do what you want to do with your life. And that's what I did. I moved up to New York, did like off-Broadway shows for a while, finally ended up like booking some voiceover jobs for video games and animation, and toured with the national tour of How the Grinch Stole Christmas for 5 years, where I understudied Stephen Carl, who a lot of people might know from the children's show Lazy Town. He was Robbie Rotten on this. And he was an amazing physical...
Was he the Grinch?
Yes, he was the Grinch. And I was his understudy. And he's amazing. He was amazing physical... comedian. He was known as basically Iceland's Jim Carrey. He had a mastery over his body, and I had never known an actor like that. I grew up watching the old silent films.
Wow.
And that's what I emulated, but I had never had anybody that could help me fine-tune my
skills.
And
let me just interject something here. This is very interesting to me, because the whole, and we'll get to this, the whole secret and genius of Art the Clown, if you haven't seen the movie, is he never speaks. So it's all body language. When you said like Iceland's Jim Carrey, like the way Art the Clown is played by you, it's very much Jim Carrey over accentuated mm-hmm. body motions. So that's where you picked it up from.
That's where I got it from. It was Stefan. He really just helped because that was what he did best. He right. was a clown.
This would be kind of a Grinch thing too. Yeah,
exactly. And he taught me so much. And I would have moments when I was on set where I would like, how am I going to approach this scene? I would have my, I called him, what would Stefan do moments. And I'm like, I know exactly.
WWSD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that he was who I really pulled from. I mean, of course, I pulled from the greats like Chaplin, Keaton, even like Rowan Atkinson.
Silent
Doug
movie
Jones.
Guys. Yeah. And yeah.
Just great physical actors. And of course, Robert Englund. Mm-hmm. I mean, you pull from the best. I kind of just did an amalgamation of
but let's
guys.
Back up a bit. So you're doing you're off Broadway, so you're right. doing the touring. How does the Terrifier script come to you, and why did yeah. you get it of all?
It was purely serendipitous. Mm-hmm. It was because when they decided to make Terrifier, they went to Mike Gianelli, and I don't know the whole story behind it, but
who's Mike Gianelli?
He was the original Art the Clown.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes. And they went to him, and of course, Damon's like, hey, we're doing Terrifier. You want to play Art? And I think by that point, he wanted to do other things with his life. And also, he just didn't want to go through the makeup process.
I want to hear about that, too.
Yeah. And so he's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to pass. And so they put out an ad out there on the acting websites looking for an actor that was tall, skinny guy that had clowning or physical comedy experience for the quote-unquote role of a lifetime. And at that point, I was without a job. I had just gotten back from tour, and I had just taken months off. I had been, like, in final callbacks for 3 different Broadway tours. Nothing happened. I was like, I was just getting discouraged.
The worst, right?
Oh, God.
I'm the worst auditioner, too. Like, oh, you got a callback? Oh, you didn't get it.
It's like, put me in, coach.
Yeah, offer me the part, and I'll kill it.
Yeah. And I was like, come on. I can do this. I was like, one of them actually came down to a flip of a coin where they couldn't decide between me and another guy, and they flipped the coin. And actually, I think of it now, the coin landed in my favor because I would have been on the road at that point. I couldn't have auditioned for this. But I came across that audition, and I had seen All Hallows Eve, and I loved the character.
Oh, you'd seen it?
I had seen it already.
So you're a horror movie fan?
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
And I loved the character when I first saw him. I was like, oh, my God, this character's like an evil Mr. Bean. That
That's
is
a good
awesome.
Call.
What an awesome, because I'd always wanted to play like a Mr. Bean type of character, just to play around
Mr.
like that.
Mr. Bean doesn't talk either.
Not really.
He mumbles a bit.
Yeah, Mr. Bean. It's Daddy. But it is, and that's why I was like, oh my God, I would love, that's like such an awesome role. And I saw that, I'm like, yes. Yeah. So I contacted my reps. I'm like, send me in. I mean, I know I can knock this one out of the park. This is my wheelhouse. So they send me in. I walk in.
Have you read the script yet?
No.
Okay.
I had nothing.
All you saw was a role of a lifetime.
Art the Clown.
Gotcha.
I'm like, I have to play him.
Right.
And so I go in there for my audition. Have no script. I see all these other people in the room with scripts. I'm like, oh, crap. Where did you? They sent us the scripts. I'm like, oh, yay.
But they forgot to send it to you?
Yeah, no. So I go in the room, and so I'm like, they're like, the producer Phil gets to me and stuff like that, and he brings me in. I'm like, so I hate to ask, but I don't have a script. Is there any way I can get one? He's like, and Damien's like, oh, man, no, you don't need a script. Art doesn't talk. I'm like, oh, okay, so what do I need to do? He's like, well, just go ahead and come up with a scene where you decapitate a guy. I'm like, Boba KB, can I have a few more minutes just to think about it? And he's like, no, just go ahead and just make it up as you go along. And I'm like, okay. And this is why I think it's important for every actor, anybody that goes into any performance arts should like have some experience in improv, because you never know when you're going to be thrown
That's
in a
true.
Situation
You got to
like
go
this.
With the flow.
You just have to go with the flow. And this is what came out of my head. I probably need to go to a therapist. But I came up with this like scenario. I think it's online now.
I saw it.
Yeah, where I sneak up behind my victim, knock him out, cut off his head, pick up the head, like bathe myself in the blood, and then taste the blood. And I'm like, I don't like the flavor. So I take out a salt shaker and I season it and then taste it again, give it a thumbs up, toss the head in the bag, I think, and skip out on my merry way.
And this
way.
Is all miming, by the way.
Yeah.
There's no actual head or salt shaker or anything.
No, just... This is I had no time to
so
think
he,
of any
so
of this.
Let me just get this straight. So when you come in there and there's a bunch of people with scripts,
yeah,
and we don't know what these scripts were. Why did they have scripts you didn't?
They were auditioning for other roles in the
gotcha.
Film. Yeah.
So he's saying just decapitate somebody.
Yeah.
And that's your only direction.
That's my only direction.
And don't talk.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what you came up with. Because I watched it back. So here's the thing that I love. Like once again, I'm a horror movie fanatic, right? And the thing I loved, like I've seen it all from J-horror to Giallo to freaking Gornos, which was gory pornos, which was a phase that I went through. Nothing affects me, but watching Terrifier, the thing that, and this is when I showed it to my, like I said, my not even 21-year-old niece. This, mm-hmm. I'm showing her Terrifier.
It's like, look at what he does. Watch that this, girl's niece. The JJ.
Yes. And the reason why is we watch horror movies and we see them all from the Paranormal Activities to, mm-hmm. the Conjurings to the one that begins with an I, Indigenous or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it is.
There's, if I had more sleep, I could. Insidious.
So thank
there
you, man.
Insidious.
Thanks, Bob. Insidious. Indigenous is the
Indigenous
Canadian
is
version. But the point is, like, you see all of these kind of cookie-cutter Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
But when I saw this, you got to see this Terrifier movie, because it's not the fact that there's a lot of diabolical gore, which is always great.
Yeah.
But the killer says nothing. But it's not nothing like Jason or Michael Myers, mm-hmm. where it's just stoic. Art never breaks character of being a clown.
Yeah.
So it's the clown that you would pay to have entertain at your 5-year-old's birthday party, but instead of, you know, doing balloon tricks, he's cutting people in half from vagina to throat.
Yeah. And he's doing it for himself.
For himself.
It's all about amusing himself. This is what he thinks,
right.
is fun and funny and entertaining.
He never breaks character. And talking to you, like facially, okay, of course, there's a lot of makeup, which we're talking about, but I'm looking at your fingers. And I showed you the gif earlier when DDP was here of Art the Clown, and he's doing the little wave with his fingers, mm-hmm. these really thin, I would say musician fingers.
Yeah, I play piano.
Yeah, and you've got these really thin fingers, and it's your fingers that are like, obviously, we know it's not real, or maybe it is, maybe you guys are going to kill me, and it's the podcast within the podcast. But watching your fingers, it's like, dude, that is the real Art the Clown here.
Yeah.
So when you were told to do this, you know, decapitation with the salt and all this stuff, what happens when you're finished with it? What does Damien say?
His head was on the table, and he was laughing his ass off. And like Phil, our producer, just kind of sitting there just like agog. He's like, he just turns to him, and they just kind of give each other like a look, and they're like, so how are you with wearing makeup? And I'm like, good. I've done a lot of children's theater. I've had a lot of crazy makeup over the years, so I'm totally fine with that. And I was like, yeah, can you come in for a makeup test? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. And I walked out of there, and I was like, well, I think I got it. But you know, I'm still, the realistic part of my head is, well, you don't know for certain. You never know who might come in, blah, 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 blah.
Of course. And it's a show business, kid.
Yeah. And for a few months, I didn't hear anything. And I finally get an email from Damon. Like, hey, can you come in for the makeup test now? I'm like, yeah, sure, cool. And so I go in
and
there.
And that's the worst, too. Like, few months, like, come on.
No, I was like, let me know.
Give me something, man, right?
And I didn't want to be pestering anybody. So I'm like, I mean, at that time, I was like, well, I guess they just didn't really need me.
And then, found somebody else.
It's like, oh, no. And I get there, and they do the makeup test. They do a mold of my face and everything like that. And I'm like, in the full makeup and everything. And I'm like, does this mean I actually have the part? He's like, oh, yeah. You've had it forever. I'm like, really?
I had to tell you 2 months ago.
I was like, my agent never told me.
Right.
I was like,
right.
He's like, right. I'm like, yeah. I was like, great. And then, like, the pizza guy came while I was in full outfit and everything like that. And they're like, hey, let's have some fun. Go enter the door. I'm like, okay. It's like, this is your final test. I just open the door, and I just kind of stand there and just stare at the guy. He's like, what the fuck, man? He's like, hell no. No. And they just go, no, it's okay, man. It's okay.
Hey, random pizza guy, if you're a Talk Is Jericho fan, we apologize for staring the shit out of you. But see, here's the thing. The thing with the Art the Clown makeup is when I show anybody the pictures of it, because like, I always say, have you seen, Terrifier? No. And I just screenshot the picture and send it. I actually have it saved, by the way.
Oh, wow.
You see that clown? No, dude, I'm serious.
I love
campaigning
it.
For this movie. When you see the makeup of Art, it's everyone does the same thing. Oh, my God. Like, that's creepy shit. But it was obviously already designed on All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
So when you get it, it was there any updates to it? Or was
they,
it basically
they made
the same?
Him a little bit more gaunt because in, like...
More gaunt?
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. like... that's how Damien really wanted him to be. Like, you know, Mike's a regular sized guy and stuff. Like, I'm skinny as hell. I'm like, my mom used to say you would have to tie my leg and knock some knees. So it's like, I always tell people, like, because especially down here in the South, people growing up, it was like, do you eat? I'm like, yeah. And it's like, well, why are you so skinny? And this because I have a crack in my butt. It's broken.
Genetics, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a family trait. It's that metabolism.
But once again, perfect for the role that you have to play, right?
Yeah, and it's so funny because that was something I used to be so self-conscious of for the longest time, being so skinny. And it's just like,
And now ended up getting you this gig.
Oh, well.
Of a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about when you first put on the makeup as Art the Clown. I mean, that's the type of makeup when I show anybody, they're instantly creeped out, especially my wife and anybody that's not a very good horror movie watcher. If they're scared or jump easily, Art is so freaky looking. But before we talk about that makeup, let me just remind all the sexy beast Talk is Jericho listeners that it doesn't matter how skinny or not you are. DDP Yoga is a great option no matter your weight or fitness level. Funny thing is, I was tracking the DDP show that we did a few weeks ago, and he was leaving just as David got in there. So DDP and Art the Clown have actually met. Maybe Art the Clown could do a little DDPY and lighten up a little bit. Diamond Dallas Page's life-changing program is the perfect choice for anybody looking to get in the path to healthier living. It's part of the reason why I'm getting back in the ring with Kenny Omega, Alpha vs. Omega 2 at All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing in Las Vegas, May 25th. We sold it out, 12,000 tickets in 4 minutes. It's also part of the reason why I'm going to be back in the studio and on stage with Fozzy as well. Lots of gigs coming up to tell you all about, including September 14th at Bank of California Stadium in Los Angeles, opening for Iron Maiden. Lots of crazy things and cool things. Don't forget, Fozzy also on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Part 2. We're talking about that. Also, DDP will be there as well, and I think it's time for you to try DDPY for yourself. Now, Dallas has given everybody 7 days of completely free access to the DDP Yoga Now app, so you can see for yourself how life-changing this program can be. That's 1 week to try the program, explore the app, and own your life completely for free. So get started at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Mick Foley, AJ Styles, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Fish, Jake the Snake Roberts, Scott Hall, Corey Taylor, Rich Ward, just a few of the guys owning their lives with DDPY. And now Dallas, this is just unprecedented, huge news, has partnered with the NFL alumni to bring DDPY to all the veteran football athletes, get them back into shape. And with the DDP Yoga Now app, you adjust the workouts to your life and skill level, and then you use all the tools on the app to help you stick to your program. You can even use the app to stream the workouts to your TV so you can get them on the big screen. Listen, I can't say enough about the DDP Yoga Now app. You know that's the truth. This is the best workout program you could ever do. You need to download it. You need to get on the program. You need to own your life. Sign up for your free 7-day access at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. And also pick up Dallas's book to help get you started. I read it the other day. Very entertaining. So many great stories and a lot of great vibes and a way that you can help turn your life around if you're in the dumps. It's called Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. And it's filled with lessons from Dallas's own life, his career. You can get it wherever books are sold, Amazon, all those great places. And if you want to try DDPY with Dallas himself in person, he's got a couple live workshops coming up, one in Baltimore on March 17th and one in New York City on April 5th during WrestleMania. Sign up for ddpyogaworkshops.com, and you still got time to sign up for the DDPY retreat, which is happening June 23rd to the 29th at the 5-star El Dorado Resort in the Riviera Maya. Eat great food, meet great people, do some live DDP yoga workouts with Dallas. I was there a few years ago. This is a top level resort. The food is great. The camaraderie is great. The swimming pools, beaches, so much fun. And plus you get to do some live DDPY workouts with Dallas. Reserve your spot today at ddpretreat.com. That's ddpretreat.com. Listen, get involved, man. Get down, get with it. Get into DDPY and you can do it. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho and sign up for the program now.
What I want you to do now is just remain calm and stay on the line with me until the police arrive.
So you do the makeup test, and how does it feel when I've done some stuff in Japan this year where I've had some makeup on and I've put some on, and like, it gives you a different vibe of this character. So when you go out, for example, to do this match, it's Chris, but it's not really. When you put the makeup on, how do you feel with that?
I love it. I mean, especially anytime I do like a new makeup like test or something like that, my first time wearing makeup, I like to sit in front of a mirror and just make faces to see how everything reads and stuff like that. And like my first time getting like that full makeup, especially once I finally got the teeth and the contacts, and so
the nose too.
Oh yeah,
big, long, so pointy nose. Freaky.
Yeah. It's just he's ugly.
Yeah, he's ugly in a terrifying way.
Yeah, he's like he kind of looks like the Joker and Freddy Krueger like had a child or something like that. It's that kind of look about it. It's this freaky look. It's just very unnatural look, and I got there in front of that mirror, and I was like, oh my god, there he is.
So let me ask you a question. So you did this kind of cold audition where you just had to do some miming.
Mm-hmm.
When did they give you the script?
I got the script shortly after I did the makeup.
What did you think when you read it?
Oh, I loved it. I was like, this is f***ed up. I love it. I was like, wow, we're doing that to that girl? We're going to hang her upside? Wow. Okay, right. Cool. I'm all in. Because I'm like, especially in like the past 10 years or so, I was like, when I've watched slasher films, it seems like they're playing it so safe. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how horror is supposed to be, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like, it's supposed to like push boundaries and make people uncomfortable. And that's what makes, but and also have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And people have forgotten how to have fun with it. Like it would, like, you know, going back in the day, watching the Jason movie and the Freddy movies, like they weren't necessarily really heavy on plot. But the fun was the chase and, mm-hmm. like, the creative kills and everything. And that's what I found, like, lacking in a lot of slashers recently. And I'm like, this doesn't. We just go balls to the walls with it. We're like, you know.
But you know what Art does that the other slashers didn't? Is he's so vicious and violent. Like, even in the opening kill with the guys in the diner, where he's just stabbing that guy in the face, like, 100 times.
He goes over the top.
Like, you never saw that. You don't see that with Michael Myers or Jason. They just stab somebody and or whatever.
They're done with it.
But like, this is different from that, you know?
There's some maliciousness to him.
Yes, he's enjoying it, right?
Oh, he gets
off. Does it say that in the script? Like, you have to, the Art stabs the victim countless over-the-top times?
Oh, yeah. Or? Yeah, sometimes Damien just like, stab, 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 stab. I'm like, woohoo! That's how many stabs is that? 5 stabs or 6?
Well, how was the script for the vagina to gullet?
Oh, man, it's just basically as you saw it.
But was it just like Art proceeds to cut, or was it in detail?
Like, it's going in detail and all. He's like, yeah, it starts at then the cooter and goes on down, and he, like, her intestines start spilling out,
so
and
bad.
She's and still screaming, and I'm like, this, I don't, like, god, man,
we don't have vaginas, but just to think about that from cross, like, how it would feel for if you haven't seen it, spoiler, dude, what do you call it? Hacksaw?
Yeah.
Going from ball bag. Like, how long would it last before you passed out and died? Like, that one was so bad, right?
Yeah, and he got the inspiration for that from old medieval torture methods, actually. That's
really
what they actually used to do to people, hang them upside down, and it would take, they had two people with a saw, and they'd just cut people in half like that.
Oh, my gosh. There's some up shit.
I told him, like, dude, for like future films, man, you need to look more into like this medieval stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff.
I did a paper on that when I was in college about medieval torture kills, and there's one where like they put a cage filled with rats that haven't been fed like in a week on your stomach, where the cage bottom isn't there. They pull it out, so those rats just start eating you.
And sometimes they will put a fire on top of so that the rats is trying to escape.
Escape into your belly.
Like, good God, who came up with
that? I know, right? Like, this is real stuff.
Oh, and who sat there and watched that happen, too? I'm like, my God.
But once again, see, and this is what I always say about being a bad guy in wrestling.
Yeah.
Is it's a lot easier to make people hate you than it is to make them like you. But once they start hating you, it's hard to keep them hating you because you become entertaining. Like watching Terrify, like Art the Clown. Like I, when the first girl, I don't remember what her name was, the girl that was wearing the skeleton dress.
Oh, yeah. Tara.
Tara. When she, and here, we got to talk about this too. When she just gets shot by Art and she's dead, I'm like, well, she's supposed to be the one that lives.
Yeah.
So when she's dead, now I'm like, well, I don't know who to root for.
Oh, I know.
I'm just going to start rooting for Art.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's like Art, in wrestling, we call them baby faces. Mm-hmm. Art will become a baby face slash good guy just by proxy of how diabolically entertaining he
is. That's like how you root for Wile E. Coyote.
Right.
It's just like,
Or you, like I said, like the Terminator. Yeah. In one and two, one, he's the vicious villain. Two, he's the good guy.
Yeah.
Hannibal Lecter is the good guy in the second one. A Joker, had Heath Ledger not died, would have been the good guy in the next Batman. You know,
because he had a point.
Right. Yeah. And he was entertaining.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that I love those kind of villains where you can tell they're having fun with what they're doing. That makes them that scarier. It's just because it's like, oh my God, this guy's really enjoying this. This is something that's just like, he's not just doing it out of anger. He's having fun. I'm like, that's messed up, man.
And not to get too deep into acting pantheon, but what was your motivation to play this character? Because it's a very dark, evil character.
I mean, I brought a lot from the old silent film, all that kind of stuff. But I brought a lot of Joker into it, and I brought a lot of Freddy into it. I always like to say, like, really, art is like if Freddy Krueger and Harpo Marx had a bastard child.
Great
it would
call.
Be Art the call. Great Art call. The Clown, yeah.
What? How long was the shoot?
Well, it's originally supposed to be like 6 weeks, but we had, you know, low budget film, you know, sometimes run out a little bit of money there, and we had a few other setbacks and stuff. So we ended up going between, like, we started fall of 2015, and we ended up finally finishing our last scenes in 2017, early spring. But off and on, we would go through the year. And we had, like, a rough cut of it that we showed at a film festival in 2016 up in Telluride, Colorado, and they loved it. But we got feedback from that, and they want some more, so we ended up adding, like, the scene where I decapitate the other exterminator, and we added the morgue scene, because we're like, people were like, well, is there going to be a sequel? I was like, well, shoot, we got to set up a sequel, I guess.
That was my thing. Like, it was to see Art at the end where he's like, I guess he's now immortal, maybe?
We'll
something
see.
Like this. We'll see. I had watched it, and when I first watched it, I was like, yeah, there's some things that bother me, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. So I watched it again, and then I watched it again, and then again. I've seen it 4 times now.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, I thought the beginning scene where the girl who, and once again, spoiler alert, Art likes to eat people's faces, which to me is the worst part. That's worse than getting your vajayjay to gullet, because you're dead. He eats people's faces to where they have to live afterwards.
Yeah.
So I thought that the girl at the beginning was a previous victim of Art the Clown who had her face eaten off. But is it a wraparound where it's the girl at the end
is.
Now becomes the killer or kills? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I look at it this way. Like, Art, when he first met Tara in the film, he saw her as a strong woman. He's like, I want to break her. And so that's why he cut her best friend in half in front of her. It's like, that's going to make her go crazy. But it didn't. She came back after him, was kicking his ass. And that's like, okay, fine. I can't break you. You're too strong for me mentally. I cannot break your spirit. I'm done with you. You're no longer fun. Bang, bang.
Right.
And you can tell that when he's killing her, he's not happy to kill her like all those other kills. He's like, he's kind of pissed off that he had to do that.
That's very cool, because almost to me, I was like, that's almost a flag on the play for a serial killer, that he just pulls out a gun and shoots her.
Yeah.
But your explanation right there makes a lot of sense. He was, because he stabbed her a bit, and it was later that when he used the cat of nine tails and all this stuff, but at this point he's just like Indiana Jones, where he just, like, the guy does the sword play, he's like, fuck off, boom, dead.
Yeah.
That's wow.
Plan. Yeah.
So he was sick of her besting him.
Yeah, and he was upset. Then he found her cell phone with her sister that said she was on the way. She's like, ooh, game back on. And that's why he went in there and just finished the job. And just bam, 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 bam. Oh, we're totally done. I got a new toy to play with. And so that's why he was going after her. And he wanted to make her go crazy.
That's
he
really
succeeded.
Good.
He succeeded.
Wow. Because like I said, that's one thing about that movie where it just continues on to where, like I said, we don't know who we're supposed to be cheering for, because even like you mentioned the exterminator, and then Art just like viciously like cuts off his head. No, he cut off the exterminator's head.
Yeah.
And he stepped on the janitor's
head. Yeah, just totally curb stomps him. Just.
So tell us a little bit about the special effects behind the scenes.
Yeah, like, Damien did all of it.
He does all the special
effects? He does all the special effects. That was none of that was CG. I think the only CG you really have of the film is maybe like a little blood coming out of my eye at the end, and that was it. The rest, that was all practical effects that he constructed himself. He would make molds of people's faces and bodies and stuff like that.
So when you did the vagina to gullet, that was an actual rubber body?
That was a rubber. And boy, poor Catherine. I mean, she's like, I consider her to be our MVP of the film, because she went through hell for that kill. Like, when they made the body mold of her, they forgot to put the releasing agent on. So, and it was a full body mold of her.
Gosh.
And she was stuck, and they almost had to take her to the ER in that full body mold.
But they couldn't get it off?
They eventually finally pried it off of her. And I'm like, that had to have been so painful. Scary. How claustrophobic that had to have been. Just scary. But she was a trooper, and because she knew what that scene was going to become. And then the night that we filmed that scene, it was like 20 degrees in this room because we filmed that at Seaview Mental Hospital.
What city was this in?
In Staten Island, that part.
Okay, so it was New York.
Yeah, Staten Island, yeah. It was 20 degrees. She had to be in that position.
And she has to literally be upside down.
Yeah. We'd only let her hang upside down for 30
seconds.
And
she's naked, by the way.
Yeah, naked, cold, all that blood all over it, and it's going up into her nose and her eyes. And
legs are splayed, so, you know, that's not an interesting...
hours of doing this.
Literally a naked woman upside down with her legs pulled apart.
And exposed like that to a room full of guys.
Wow, that's pretty... Yeah, yeah, right.
But she was a total pro during all of that. Just, you know, didn't like, foster anything like that. She's like, let's do this. I mean, she even got sick afterwards from all the, like, the blood rushing to back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like she had a little balance issues for a little while there. But, you know, it's like...
Really?
That's like she's the MVP of the film because she's like everybody talks about that scene. Mm. And it's because she toughed it out.
Well, but like you said, that's the one, like, when Rich was showing me this movie, he's like, you have to watch this scene. And that was the one that he had pulled up was the, you know, and when you read this... Do you know that, like, it's going to be an iconic horror movie scene?
We thought that scene was something special. And, like, when we were shopping, we were trying to get distributors. And I think we had some studios that wanted to actually put us in theaters. But they had a concession where they had to make some big cuts to the film. And that's what they really wanted to cut was that scene. And Damien was like, there is no way you were cutting that. That's like, you have to trust me here. This is going to be the scene that's going to make this movie. Do not cut this scene.
The scene, yeah.
And so we almost went self-distribution until Steve Barton, Uncle Creepy, he was working at Dread Central at the time, had seen the film at one of these film festivals, and he contacted people at Dread Central, and he's like, you guys, trust me, take on this film.
So Dread Central is a distribution?
Yes.
That's a website too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Uncle Creepy?
Yes, Steve Barton, yeah.
That's also the nickname for Gene Simmons
within
the guys in Kiss, by the way. So this is pretty cool. So we're in a world right now where Dread Central, which is, like I said, I was just reading the top 40 horror movies of all time on Dread Central, they're now able to finance movies as well?
Yeah, they started their own little production company, Dread Central Presents, where they basically every month they're releasing a film.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, what is the name of the girl with with the skeleton dress?
The actress's name is Jenna Cannell. She actually lives here in Atlanta too.
She looks a lot like Neve Campbell.
Yeah,
have you noticed that?
Oh yeah,
she's like a little sister.
She takes that as a huge compliment too. Yeah, she loves that. She was also in the Bye Bye Man as well.
Okay.
Yeah, she actually had to leave from filming with us to go film with that, like literally like 2 days afterwards. So yeah. She's with us, and she's like, oh, my God, I'm sure in a car with Doug Jones. I'm like, shut your face.
So when you're talking about the makeup, like I know like Dave Bautista is a good friend of mine, so to get Drax the Destroyer,
oh, God,
it's like 6 hours every day.
Dude.
What was it like for art?
It was about 4 hours usually. I mean, sometimes it would take more because Damien was doing my makeup, so he'll like...
He did the makeup too?
Yeah, he did my makeup.
This is a let's put on a show production for sure.
Yeah.
I'll direct, I'll do the makeup, I'll do the special effects, see?
Exactly. Come on, kids.
So explain the process. What time would you have to show up, and what would you start with?
Yeah, I would usually show up about a few hours before everybody else arrived on set because it takes a while. And you know,
did you have to shave your head?
No, thank God, no. They just put a
bald cap.
Yeah, but they would like put all this like glue all over my face because he had made a mold of my face, and then he sculpted like the mask off of that. But it's this silicon based mask, and he would glue it to every inch of my face. Because of that, it was very light and it was very comfortable. I would forget I was wearing it, but it allowed for full range of expression, which I was so happy with.
Yeah, because totally.
That's the most important thing.
That's
Art the Clown. You got to be able to express.
Right.
You know, being silent, you got to be expressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it's just a tedious thing because you would have to glue all that on to make sure everything was stuck and all that, no air bubbles, nothing like that. And then he had to paint all that on. And...
So then when the nose...
Yeah, that's all one piece.
Oh, that's
all one
so
piece.
So you put the mask on, but it leaves your eyes and mouth basically open.
Yeah.
Then, the, like you mentioned, the teeth.
Yeah, I had a fake teeth. I
terrible prosthetic, yeah.
Oh, God. Make me drool like crazy. And I sound like I was like some inbred redneck or something. I was like, hey, how are everybody doing there? Yeah, it was always funny because I would just have fun talking like that. And it was like, yeah, I'm Art the Clown. Hey, how are you doing? I almost sound like Brack from Space Ghost.
Like, kills all the creepiness of Art the Clown, where he's just an idiot, right?
Oh, it was funny. It was like in between takes, I was always cracking jokes like that, just having fun. Because, like, this has got to be so surreal seeing me like this. So you hear this weird voice come out. Sometimes you're like Herbert the Pervert from like Family Guy. Hey, everybody.
And how about the contacts? Are you used to that?
I hate contacts. Yeah. But you have to tough it out. Mm-hmm. You have to, and like the funny thing is, there's a part in the film, like near the end, you'll see me with green eyes because we had this one part where, like, one night we're filming one of the latter scenes and one of the contacts ripped and we didn't have a backup pair. And we're like, oh, crap. Mm. We're like, you know what? We'll just do them without the contacts. We'll do every scene after this without the contacts in, so that we'll have some kind of continuity and stuff like that. And maybe we'll explain why he had green eyes at one point, but maybe no one will notice.
I'll tell you what, you got to be a comic book nerd from The Simpsons. Yeah.
Well, you see, after 18 minutes and 22 seconds, all he has is green eyes.
That's exactly
worst contacts ever.
Yeah, we did that all the. That was like a constant joke because we're worrying about continuity with like blood splatters all the time. Like,
yeah.
Excuse me, but in this scene, Art had a blood splatter right over his left eye, and the next thing, it was not there. What the heck? Worst scene ever.
I love the part too where she's spying on her, and I think maybe she's spying on, but he's fucking with her when he's on the tricycle.
Oh God,
he knows she's
so
watching.
Fun.
Like, right? Like, I mean, in my opinion. And that's like I said, all of that stuff is just makes
it's just to psych her out.
Yeah,
it's just to fuck with her head. It's just like, I love it.
So as an actor, we make choices, right? Mm-hmm. So what? And we have, a lot of times you have to figure out what the backstory of art is. What's your thought process? Like, was he a real clown at some point?
I can't say.
Oh, okay.
Because this is something Damien and I discussed all that. We still discuss. We're still coming up more ideas for his background and stuff like that. But the base of that was there because I wanted to know that from the get-go.
Sure.
Like, who is he? What is he? What is his motivation here? And then we can start building upon that later on.
Because at first, once again, watching it the first time, because like I said, I'm not jaded, but I've seen it all. Every horror movie, whatever. So at the end, I'm like, okay, so now he's just suddenly immortal. Like, this is whatever. But then I'm like, this is actually really cool. Like, how does that happen, right?
Yeah. I like to think, I mean, I don't know if this is the definite thing, but I like to think that before he offed himself, he didn't know. He was just like, oh, fuck you guys. I'm not going to let the police be the guys to take me out. Mm-hmm. I'm going out on my own terms. Mm-hmm. So bye. And he didn't expect to come back. Mm-hmm. He's just this malicious guy. He was an agent of chaos. Mm. He just wanted to just drive people nuts and just cause as much mayhem as he could. He just enjoyed it. And he finally's like, oh, crap, the jig is up. Okay, fine.
I'm going out my own way.
Yeah, going out my own terms.
Yeah.
Screw you guys. So, yeah. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Did you think, I mean, obviously, this is not a great question because we never know for sure. But when you finish the movie and it goes out there, do you think like, okay, we've got something here? Or do you think like, all right, time to go look for another Grinch stage gig? Like, what are you thinking when it's done?
I mean, I was saying that I hope this goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I was still like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I still auditioned for, I did like an episode of Gotham and stuff like that. And I still was doing like voiceover work for like little kid shows and stuff like that. So I'm like, that's what was really weird. I was like, yeah, you know, I kill people on this. And then I go in here, like voice a cow on like Super Wings. So I'm like,
want some milk?
It's like, this is what I do. It's like, what a weird
dichotomy.
That's
right though. As a working actor, that's what you do.
It's like,
one gig
work
ends.
Is work.
Yeah.
Work is work. I don't care. As long as I'm having fun and I'm making a living, doing what I enjoy, I'm not going to complain.
But it's funny because you talk about, and this happens to all of us when you strike gold with something that you never expected, Terrifier, low budget movie.
Yeah.
Now, whether the next movie has a bigger budget, or I'm
not gonna
talking work. Out of my ass, there's gonna be, there better be a freaking next movie. But at the very least, now you're doing comic conventions.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know what you have or don't have as far as rights, or whatever. But even royalty wise, Damien has, I'm sure, is creating Art the Clown. Now we've seen Art the Clown mask costumes. You're wearing an Art the Clown Christmas sweater right now, which
so
I have
surreal.
To have with the syringes that knock her out, by the way.
Yep.
But I mean, this has become, like I said, it's like I always say, you can judge a character whether somebody can dress up for them as them on Halloween.
Yeah.
And we have this now. We haven't had it for years.
No. And that was like so many people this last year were dressing up. And I that's what I love seeing was all these, like, because we now, I think it's Trick or Treat Studios is about to release an official Art the Clown Halloween costume. But before that, everybody was just creating
their own.
And I love seeing the ingenuity that everybody was coming up with. And there were very interesting variations of, like, sexy Art the Clown. I'm like, oh my God.
French maid Art the Clown.
Yeah, and I'm like, wow, I'm feeling things I probably shouldn't be feeling. It's like, I find myself attractive. What? Like, this is interesting. Yeah. You know, like, even little kids were dressing up as Art the Clown for Halloween. I'm like, why? You saw this film? Yeah. It's like,
now, are you married?
Not yet.
You have a girlfriend?
No. I'm playing the field.
Because
right
what
now.
I'm saying is that there's a lot of chicks, especially at these places, that might want to bang Art the Clown. Yeah, it could be all right.
Yeah.
It's like Paul Stanley said back in the day, they wanted to leave me to leave the makeup on. I just did.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's funny because back in the day when I was in high school, I was like this geeky guy in high school. Those kind of girls wouldn't give me the time of
now,
day. Oh, like,
you're
what
hot,
the
baby.
Heck?
You're hot in a certain circumstance.
I'm like, okay. I'll
now, is Terrifier kind of a worldwide thing? Are you,
yes.
It's been released around the world.
It's been released internationally. We're actually even going to Germany, Canada, and like we're trying. I think New Zealand, England.
For the movie or for like conventions and stuff.
Conventions, yeah, and they've released it also in Italy. It's, you know, it's going everywhere. We've actually, there have been places outside of the U.S. even like Spain and England. People have done sides of building with graffiti of Art the Clown. I'm like, this is insane.
Like I said, it's becoming a grassroots thing where people are starting to hear about it and. Like, dude, like, this is, you guys struck gold on this. Like,
it's just, it was purely just, you know, capturing lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's all Damien. It's just like, dude, you created something amazing.
Okay, well, I have to stop you here and say this in your credit. Yes, Damien had the vision, but mm-hmm. you played it. And just talking to you and seeing you, when I saw you do that audition online mm-hmm. and then saw you today in real life, it's like, obviously, you don't have the mask and the prosthetics and stuff, but I see where it's coming from. And listen, I could write a great solo for Eddie Van Halen, but if he doesn't play it like Eddie Van Halen, it doesn't work that way.
It's true.
You know
it's
what I mean?
True.
So this has now become, now it's Damien and you. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really cool place to be.
It's just kind of like how Jackie Earl Haley, you know, like, did Freddie, and
right.
it just wasn't the same. Jackie Earl Haley,
God
such
bless,
a
dude,
great
he
actor.
Won an Oscar.
Oh my God, he's such
We're not
an
saying
actor.
That it's not him, yeah.
But it was, it's just not, it's not Robert. And it's just like, wow. I mean, like, God, I loved him on The Tick. Did you watch him on The Tick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's
he
great.
Was hysterical.
He's amazing.
Oh, he's
I still love him as Kelly Leak in Bad News Bears.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He was. Oh, my God. I forgot that.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
He's awesome.
God.
Bad News Bears and Breaking Training,
oh,
where he yells at his dad for
God.
Ditching his mom.
Wow.
As we start to wind down, because I know you got a Waffle House date.
Yeah, Waffle House.
We're high. High class here, guys.
Get scattered,
yeah,
smothered.
The main outside today, God bless you. I've got to clean your room. I come inside, there's carrots on the freaking couch. There's shit on the floor over there.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Did you really
I feel
clean
so
it?
Guilty when people come in. I'm like, I'm sorry, I made a mess.
But as an actor, and like I said, like, this is to me even more of a testament to your skills, is that when you're playing this part, there's no words.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of makeup. That's hard to do, I'm assuming.
It's hard in a way, but for me, it's one of those fun challenges. And I always wanted to tackle a character like Mr. Bean, and now I get to. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm loving it. And it's like, that's what Damien would do. We had that. That's why I like the relationship I have with him, with actor-director type relationship. But like, we would have scenes where he would know exactly what he wanted me to do, like, you know, down to like the very, like, the angle he wanted me to tilt my head at or something like that. And other scenes, like the pizzeria scene, he was like, you know what? Just play. We'll see
so
what happens.
So when you come into the pizzeria before you do anything, were you giving her the plastic ring? And is that what he's talking about?
That was
about?
In the script, but he didn't say how to do it. He's like, just do something, like do some creative way. I'm like, okay, we'll just play around with it. Like, well, all the facial expressions, like that's a great example. It's like, he's like, here, just make a few faces. We'll just film. and I just kept filming, and they never yelled cut, and I just kept on making face after face after face, and it was maybe, I think, maybe 3, 4, or 5 minutes of them just letting me go, and they're like, oh, crap, we cut? Yeah. I was like, I think you got enough. I'm like, yeah.
See, but here's another thing I love about it, too, is that we've never seen a killer that's toying with his prey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my mind, and this might not be what you were thinking, but yeah, exactly. He knows from the moment he sees these girls in the street that kind of act like a couple of, you know, drunk chicks. He's like, okay, mm-hmm. all right, motherfuckers, wait and see what happens. So he's mm-hmm. playing with them. Myers never did that. Voorhees never did that. They just come out of the woods and kill people.
Yeah.
He is actually like warming them up, and she takes the selfie and he lets her mm-hmm. and then of course takes the selfie in return after he's cut her in half.
Yep.
That to me was even creepier. It was like, these girls, you know, are like girls that you see or don't see or whatever. They're coming out of the bar. They're hot shit. They don't care.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, all mm-hmm. right, see what happens. That to me was mm-hmm. really deep horror for me.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also a realistic type of horror.
Right.
Too, because there are people like that in this world.
Yeah.
Like, especially that's a real fear with a lot of females, especially in the bigger cities and stuff like that. It's like that's what I kind of based some of that stuff that was going on in that pizzeria scene where he would just stare at them. Because guys will do that on the subway. I've had like female roommates that have had that same kind
creepers.
Of thing happen to guys yeah. just staring at them.
But what if that guy was literally staring at you because he knows he's going to murder uh-huh. you later.
He's sizing you up. He's like, oh, yeah. It's like a cat staring at its prey. And I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh, yes.
Now, this might be a question like what was in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction
mm-hmm.
that Vinny Vega wanted back. But what was in the garbage bag?
Well, you see a little bit of it. Like at the scene where you see him like where he's got Tara's character tied up. He's opened up his bag. He's got a lot of his toys already out there, all of his little tools of destruction. But I like to think sometimes he has some body parts in there as well, just for a late night snack.
That's like his little bag of
yeah.
tricks.
It's like Felix the Cat, but evil.
Well, we know he's a cannibal.
Yeah.
Because he eats
yeah.
people's faces.
Yeah.
The one thing I love is at the end when her face was like one of the aliens from They Live. It's like,
mm-hmm.
that's too much.
Yeah.
So last couple questions for you, man. So,
sure.
I mean, we're assuming that hopefully there'll be more of Art the Clown.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about it. Thoughts?
Yeah. Well, Damien's almost done as I'm saying this. He's almost done with the script for the sequel.
Wow.
I've already gotten to see a sneak peek of it. And it's got me so freaking giddy. It's going to be bigger and crazier.
Oh,
and like, I mean, he when I was reading it, he had me come over his place and let me read it. And I was just like, he knew where I was in the script by the way I would giggle. Like certain types of laughs and my certain like, ooh.
So he's sitting there watching you read the script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was fun for both of us just to do it that way. And, you know, he's fine tuning things. And I think after that, he's going to hopefully try to start shopping it to some studios.
Because you would think now with the buzz that it has, yeah. you'd be able to get more
yeah.
of a budget this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I would love like some like Blumhouse to pick us up.
Right.
Or I would, man, that would be a dream
come
true.
I would go to the theater or I'd go watch on Netflix. Like Netflix nowadays is
yeah.
just as financially viable as going to Blumhouse,
yeah.
right?
They do great work.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially they've been great with, you know, a lot of independent films and stuff like that. You know, it's like, we'd love to have something like that take us on. There's so many other options out there, so we're going to try to explore all of that. But we want the next one to be bigger. We want the better budget for that, you know, and we want it to be even more accessible to audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So we would, of course, love to have it, you know, released in theaters, you know. We'll see.
Right. You know, it's like I said, when you have, you mentioned earlier, lightning in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a great place to be
yeah.
where you don't know what you're really going to get out of it.
Yeah.
And yet, like you said, you're going to all these different countries. And like when you come to, like, we're at Days of the Dead here in Atlanta, when people come to get an autograph or get a picture, is it a little bit creepy? Is it cool? Are they dressed as art?
I love it
yeah.
because I used to go to conventions too, especially I've done cosplay as the Joker several times. And I'm like, I love it. So I've been on that side. And that was like always like a dream of mine to actually be on that side of the table one day. And I'm because it's like, it's a great way to interact with the fans. That's how I look at it. It's like, it's I'm finally able to like thank people face to face because these are the people that made us successful. And I'm like, I'm so happy to have this experience to actually show my gratitude in my own way and actually meet people. And I love to have like conversations with people at the table as much as I can. And it's a dream come true. I'm like, you can't beat this.
You know, it's funny because once again, like sometimes when I meet fans or something, they're looking at me and I can tell they're thinking like, I can't believe this is really Chris Jericho. Like talking to you, there's certain things that you do that's Art the Clown. It's freaky. Like this is the real guy. Like there's a lot of your, and this is what makes a great character, is your own personality turned up to 11.
Yeah.
And whatever this, that, or other thing, with your portrayal and performance as Art, like you can see it. Mm-hmm. Talking with you without, you know, it's really kind of a cool vibe. Last couple questions, two last questions. One, what is your favorite horror movie of all time? Is there a few or
one? I don't have an absolute favorite, but the five I usually like to list, they're all classics too to me. It's like original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Love it. I think
was the theme song by Dawkins.
Oh, yeah. God, is that, that was... it was just like that's where it found its stride. It's like, ooh, right. This is fun. Exorcist, Omen, and I would say Halloween.
Dude, okay, first of all, Halloween's my favorite all time scary movie. But the Omen, that one still gets to me to this day. Like, I will watch that movie.
So unnerving.
Very, because like, if you have any knowledge of Christianity or the Bible, like, it could happen, is happening, will happen. But for me, when I was a kid, my parents went and saw it in 1976. I was 5 years old. I woke up and my mom was looking through my hair. She told me years later she was making sure I didn't have the 666 on my head.
Oh my God.
She found it. No, but I mean, that movie's so creepy with Gregory Peck and that little kid is just fucking weird, man.
So creepy.
Yeah. You know, are you a Guns N' Roses fan?
Oh, of course.
Slash and I talk about The Omen to the T of how creepy it still holds up.
Oh, it's just that the graveyard scene with the hellhounds. Yes. I'm just like,
and he catches the spike in his armpit, and it's just like,
and how it matches up with the picture.
Oh, the spike from the church coming down through his head.
Yeah. Oh, it's just
good stuff. Go watch The Omen. Go watch Terrifier first, then watch The Omen.
Yeah.
Last question for you: what's your favorite scene in Terrifier?
Oh, the pizzeria scene.
Really?
Yeah.
For what reason?
Because I think you see every aspect of Art in that scene. You see his playfulness. You see his viciousness. And you see just how just messed up in the head he is. Like, even when he's just going after the girls have left and he's just going after the guys at work, that he didn't have to go after
them.
Yeah,
he didn't.
He didn't have to do that. But and he, you know, like, he just brutalizes that guy's face, you know, just... You know, when I got to film that scene, I was like, my God. And Damien said, just keep going at it. Just keep going at it. And it was, I actually got to stab with a real blade into that thing. So like, that
was it like a rubber?
No, mold? It was a real, not a real face. But
it was a real guy.
But he made this, it had like layers to it. Like, actually had muscle ligatures.
So he wanted you to get through it.
Yeah. And so I had that where it would get stuck and I had to yank it out and blood
just
spurt. I'm
like,
oh, I had so much fun doing that. But it just shows like he dials everything up to 11. I mean, yeah, he could just boom, like Michael Myers or Jason Dude, just like, okay, done. On to the next victim. He's like, no, I'm having fun.
And he goes to the bathroom, like writes art and shit on the wall. Even stuff like that. Like, he's just, why would you do that?
Why, right? Man? That's like one of my pet peeves is when people don't flush. So I'm just like,
you see that sometimes you go to like a gas station bathroom, there's a pile of poop in the corner.
What did you do?
Well, I pooped in the corner and then I took it and wrote my name on the wall.
Yeah, I was like, why, man?
The one scene that I love is when she, the girls are so stupid in this movie too, by the way.
Oh, God, yeah.
When she's chained the door and she's run away, but she has to go back and look through, and then Art reaches through and starts honking the horn.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, his little bicycle horn. Wah, 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 wah. Like,
he's
that's,
such an asshole.
He's such a clown. He never breaks character.
Teasing her.
And then she just watches as the car comes and hits her through the wall.
Yep.
I'm like, Art the Clown forever, man.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, but honestly, I'm so excited to talk to you and about the future of Art the Clown, because this has potential to go iconic the way that Freddy and Jason and Leatherface has. So when you see the pictures of those three where they look like, you know, that one picture where it's like there's Marlon Brando at the diner with Humphrey Bogart and Marilyn Manson, they transpose those faces. Art the Clown should be and could be in that realm.
Man, if I could ever sit at the table with those legends, I would be. That would just be amazing.
But the thing is, it's just you, Robert Englund, and then a bunch of Leatherfaces and a bunch of Freddies and a bunch of Jasons. Like, this is like the next step for Freddy. You have to be Art the Clown. You need a raise. I'm going to call Damon right now.
I'm okay with that. I will not complain.
Dude, congratulations. Yeah, thank you so much for doing this. Man. And I need to get one of those Art the Clown Christmas sweaters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm sure Damien can hook you up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knowing Art the Clown himself is going to help.
Exactly. Like, we'll, you know, contact the Terror Threads people and stuff like that.
We'll get it going. Thank you. You got to go to Waffle House. Smothered. Yep. what was it? Smothered?
Scattered and smothered, all that kind
of
stuff.
Spoken from a true native of Huntsville.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
And they don't take credit cards?
No.
Quick story. I went to Waffle House once with Shane McMahon, Vince's son, and a couple of us went, and Shane was like, I'll pay for it, took out his credit card, and like, we don't take credit cards at Waffle House.
I'm
like, sit down, buddy. I got the I'll pay the $14.
Yeah, it's all good.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
All right, you heard it right here. There's going to be a sequel to Terrifier already written. And we'll definitely have David Howard Thornton back and Damian Leone, the director and writer and the makeup artist, as you heard. All those guys will be back. Both those guys will be back when it comes out. And I can't wait to see what gruesome deaths they come up with for the next one and how creepy it's going to be. And I can't wait to see how many Art the Clowns are out for Halloween this year, maybe even on the Jericho Cruise. Not that we're going at Halloween, but they're going to be costume nights. Thanks again to David Howard Thornton for giving us such a great look behind the scenes at one of my new favorite horror movies, Terrifier, and one of my favorite new slasher icons, Art the Clown. Go check it out if you haven't seen it. And hit me up on the Twitter, @TalkIsJericho, @IamJericho, and let me know what you thought. All right, and thanks to all of you who've taken advantage of the pre-sale of Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Part 2, second wave. We're setting sail again next year, January 20th to the 24th, 2020. I want you to be there with us, and if you want to pre-book, you got to sign up now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Don't wait, because we're selling a whole lot of cabins, moving a lot faster than we were last year. I mean, we haven't even gone on sale yet. We've already got hundreds and hundreds of cabins sold. Very, very exciting to see how many people had a great time last year. A lot of people saying it was the vacation of a lifetime. I know it was for me. And we've got a great list of Hall of Famers. All Elite Wrestling is going to be there, of course, with all the top stars from that company. Fozzy's playing. So many others that I'm actually looking at the talents that have been contacted, the talents that have confirmed, the talents that are contracted. And let's just say this lineup might be even better than last year's. So don't miss it. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com and sign up to pre-order now. And remember, if you pre-order before March 13th, you get a free exclusive Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. And if you're one of the first 400 people to book a cabin, you'll get an exclusive photo and an exclusive Q&A with me, Chris Jericho, and we might even be close to reaching that. So if you want to sign up and get into that Q&A, it was a lot of fun last year for the first 400. Go do it now. Come join the party at sea. Book now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com and have the vacation of a lifetime. Ask anybody that went. Just go online and hit tweet at Jericho Cruise. Did anybody go on the Jericho Cruise? What do you think? You'll find out all about that. Go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Sign up now to pre-book before public sale starts on March 13th. And also, we got lots of cool stuff coming up on Talk Is Jericho, including on Friday from Access TV's Women of Wrestling. Have you seen this show? It's like a modern-day version of GLOW. It's a lot of fun. And the creator, David McClain, who was the creator of the original GLOW from the 80s and is now the mastermind of Women of Wrestling, and one of WOW's top stars, Abilene Maverick, will be here. We'll find out what it took to get this all-female wrestling company off the ground and on Access TV, which is a huge accomplishment. That's the same channel that New Japan Pro Wrestling is on. How they signed their talent, including Abilene and Tessa Blanchard, who's going to be on this show in a few weeks as well. And how the first season is going on Access TV, owned by Mark Cuban and Todd Wagner, who was on the show last week. So go check out Todd Wagner's rise to becoming a billionaire, and check out Dave McLean's rise to bringing women of wrestling to Access TV, plus Abilene Maverick, one of the top stars of the show. Lots of fun on Friday, taking it back to the streets, baby. Until then, have a great week. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. And go check out Art the Clown and Terrifier now. It's going to creep the pants off you, man. Aye!
The Westwood One Podcast Network.